Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Tuning in to the Heritage Radio Network. We are coming to you, as always, from the back of Roberta's Pizza in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn. And you are listening to a special studio session. Today, I'm your host, Erin Fairbanks, and we are in the studio with Karen Olson of the Norwegian Seafood Council. Karen, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Erin. So nice to be here.
So today we are talking about the launch of a new product. I mean, new to us, obviously, not new if you're Norwegian. We're talking about Skrei. So let's jump right in. What is Skrei?
Well, Skrei, it's to be short, it's a seasonal cod from Norway. And it's only available from January to mid-April. So you never know when the Skrei is coming in, because Skrei is actually a cod that is coming from the Barents Sea and swim this distance. It's actually the distance between New York and Chicago. So it swims very, very long distance and come into the Norwegian coast to make love and make sure that the future generation is secured.
So why is Skrei so foreign on our tongues here in the U.S.? Why haven't we seen it before now?
Well, Skrei is it's a fresh fish. So I think it's because Norway is very far away from the U.S. and the logistic issue as well. But the Skrei has been available in the European market for many, many years. So now we are thinking, maybe we should try to give this delicacy to the people in New York as well. So this year, it's the first year we are trying it. So hopefully we will succeed and the New Yorkers will like the Skrei.
Well, I know New Yorkers love cod, so it shouldn't be too much of a stretch. But let's talk a little bit more about the fish in Norway. Is it a popular fish there? Is it a fish that people are used to eating? And how do they usually eat it?
Yeah, cod is one of the most popular fish, like here in this part of the U.S. I know that the Americans love their cod, and so do we. And especially in the season when the Skrei is coming, we are really looking forward to it, because historically it's been a very important part of the diet, because we are most of the people living above the Arctic Circle, and there's no sun there in the wintertime, and we are getting lack of vitamin D. And when the Skrei came in, it's loaded with vitamin D's. So it's actually helped the people to survive in a very dark time of year. And we normally serve it very simple. We boil it together with roe, liver, everything you can get out of the cod, actually, and serve it with potatoes. So as simply as that.
You're good to go. Well, I know here in the Northeast, we've definitely had some issues with regards to overfishing cod and the sustainability of our fishery here in the Northeast. And is that a problem that you've experienced in Norway as well? Or are there steps that you've taken to prevent that from being an issue for you?
Yeah, it has been an issue in Norway as well, especially in the 80s when the cod stock was declining. You saw there was fewer and fewer cod coming into the coast. And then the management in Norway said, okay, we have to stop the fishery. And they actually closed down the whole fishery, and the fishermen had to tie their boats and had nothing to do. So that was quite tough times. But now you can see that it was worth it, because now we have the biggest cod stock in the world, and it's growing. And it's never been that much cod as it is right now. So it's plenty of it. So the stock is growing.
Is it growing?
Yeah.
So I'm understanding you correctly. They basically said no cod fishing at all for how long?
Well, they stopped it 1 year, and then they slowly start to build it up again. But it took many, many years, and they have very strict regulations on the fishermen, and they do. Everything is registered, and it's not allowed to throw fish back into the water if you get some fish that you don't have a quota for, and so on. So, So the scientists have very good control over how much fish is taking out of the water and so on. So it's easy for them to set the quota, so they are sure that the fish stock is not
being too depleted.
Yeah.
So now you mentioned an interesting thing, like not being able to throw fish back into the water, because that has been an issue in the past with, you know, bycatcher or fish that doesn't kind of meet a certain criteria, where fishermen would literally just dump dead fish back into the water. And that's a problem, because then you kind of don't know, like, what's coming out, right?
Yeah, it's a big problem. And most of the fish that is thrown back into the water won't survive. So it's actually throwing away food.
And so those issues now, so if something comes out of the water that, you know, isn't the right size or isn't going to go for a live market, is there a secondary market for?
Yeah, there have been big improvements on both the equipments and the knowledge for the fishermen, so they know which area they can fish in, where they can't fish in, and what kind of gear they should use. But sometimes they get fish that they don't have a quota for or don't have a market for. But anyway, they have to bring it into shore, and then somebody...
So it can be counted.
Yeah, it can be used. Yeah, and they will find a spot for it. They won't probably not get paid for it, but they have to bring it in so that the government can be sure how much fish is taking out of the water.
Nice. So give us a sense of the lifespan of a cod. You know, you said they took a year off and then slowly ramping up to replenish the supply. But how old are the fish that we would be getting, say, if I'm a restaurant in New York City and I want to bring Scray in and put it on my menu? Give us a sense of, like, the size of that fish and then the age of that fish.
Yeah, well, a cod is normally matured when it's around 4 to 5 years. It's depending on the temperature and how much food that's available in the area where they're growing up in the Barents Sea. But lately the food has been it's been a lot of capelin capelin and so on. So the fish have been a good condition to grow. So I would guess the fish that comes into New York these days is around between 5 and 7, 8 years. That's and the size is, well, I don't know, okay, 10 pounds, maybe 10 pound plus. Yeah, so it's a quite big cod.
Nice. I know, it's like, I definitely remember working the fish stations of some of the restaurants in the city, and I always loved working with the bigger fish, because you can get such pretty fillets out of them. It's really like something so satisfying. Yeah. Now, you guys have partnered with a couple of different restaurants to kind of start the launch for the fish, and maybe you can tell me a little bit about the restaurants that you're working with and, you know, how you ended up partnering with the folks on that team.
Yeah. Well, when we started to look for a restaurant, we were looking for, of course, seafood restaurant. That was the first priority. And also a restaurant that was highly involved in the sustainability questions, because we have a very good story to tell about the cod. And of course, it's seafood. Simple as that. We wanted to start with a few ones so we could be sure to follow them up in a good way and to be able to tell them the story that we want to tell. And so they also could, and also bring them together so they can talk about the fish and learn about it and see the quality of it and so on. So I think we had a quite many good restaurants at the list right now. So excellent. I'm very excited to try the Scray.
Yeah, no, it must be fun if you're used to eating it. It sounds like a pretty simple preparation then to go out and see how chefs across the city are approaching it.
Yeah.
And I know one of the challenges for chefs when introducing a new fish onto their menu is if folks have never heard of it, they're not super likely to try it, or there ends up being a need to do a lot of internal training. So are you making recommendations like... Can they just call it cod on the menu, or should they call it Scray? And how are they kind of describing to the fish? If I'm like a diner at, you know, Back 40 West, and I go in and I'm like, Scray, what's that? What should the server be telling me?
Well, in my opinion, I think they should call it Scray, but of course they must explain that it's a seasonal cod, because, as you said, it wouldn't make sense for somebody to order a Scray if they didn't know what it was. But Scray is actually a very old word for something, a Norwegian old word for something that is moving or something that is wandering long distance. And that is actually why we call the seasonal cod for Scray, because they are swimming all the way from the Barents Sea and into the Norwegian coast.
And what is the season for Scray again?
It's starting in January normally and ended in April. But you never know. It's nature's rules. So sometimes the season starts earlier and sometimes it starts late. So.
And the fishery is being managed by the government of Norway, but you guys the ocean obviously shares a border. So how do you kind of negotiate the fish that's being taken out, not by Norwegian fishermen?
Yeah, we have a very good cooperation together with the Russian, because Russian is also a part of the Barents Sea area, and each year they have meetings where they agree upon the quota, and it's all based on recommendation from scientists and very and also long term indication on how is the stock developed and so on, and it's actually been one of the few good success stories with the Russians that we have in Norway.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. We are here in the studio with Karen Olsen from the Norwegian Seafood Council talking about skrei. So hang tight. When we come back, we'll give you a little bit more on the history of this fish and point out a few more places to check it out here in the city. Hang tight.
This song is called Penny by Snowmine on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
We are back. You are tuned into a special studio session on the Heritage Radio Network. We are in studio talking skrei, the seasonal Norwegian cod. So skrei obviously has a long history in the region. I'm seeing here that the Vikings took dried skrei when they went out sailing. So we have to, maybe blame skrei a little bit for some of that history. But I'm curious, maybe we can talk a little bit about the fishing vessels and the way that the fish is produced. Obviously it's a wild fish, but is it net caught? Is it line caught? How big of the boats are that they're pulling from, and get some of the sense of, what it looks like from a fisherman's perspective.
Yeah, most of the skrei that is sold as a fresh quality graded skrei is from small fishing boats. Normally just one or two fishermen on board, and they normally use line or hooks. So because that's the best way to take care of the quality of the fish, because the fish is alive when you bring it out of the sea and so on. and it's also a very sustainable way to do the fishery.
And someone who, because skrei is seasonal, folks are fishing for just part of the year. And then can we assume that the fishermen are fishing different types of fish? Because they have to make a living, year round. But
yeah, they do. After the cod season is over, many of them start to fish for haddock. And you have all kinds of fish outside of the Norwegian coast. So they
come out of the water. They're on the boats. And then they get to New York City. Like, can you break it down a little bit in between? Do they get frozen at any point? Are they stored on ice? Are they eviscerated? Do they come in whole? How are they getting here so that they can be kind of like fresh enough for New York City chefs when they're coming all the way from Norway?
Yeah. Well, a quality grade is great is when as soon as it's on the boat, it's bleeded. So they take off the blood of the fish. So the quality is taken. It's good for the quality that the blood is out of the fish, and then they cool it down. They need to cool it quick down because then the shelf life is much longer, better yeah. and longer for the fish. And after 12 hours, the fish is packed on a fishing plant and sent out. The fish going to New York is flown in by airplanes because it's supposed it have to be fresh. So so it's only a couple of days old when it arrives in New York. So.
and you know, oftentimes people, especially, you know, fish, I feel like is so confusing for consumers because it's like, eat this fish, don't eat that fish, eat this time of year. Like, this is sustainable, this isn't, this has mercury, this, you know, that's like such uncharted waters. And, you know, one of the criticisms I feel like people would, or questions people might have is, why would we be eating this fish from Norway versus eating something that we could fish for more locally?
Mm. Yeah, I can understand all the issue around it, but still, I think the U.S., the people in the U.S. eat too little fish, and you need to eat more. And as I understand, you can't get all the fish from your own waters because the stock is not that good. And the U.S. import over 80% of the seafood that they are selling.
Oh, wow, I didn't know
it. Yeah, they actually do. So I think it's a good delicacy that we like to share with other people because there's only 5 million people in Norway and we're not able to eat all the cod that are all this gray that the fisherman is taking out of the water. So.
Not for lack of trying.
Well, it's actually a curiosity that over 33 million meals of Norwegian seafood is eaten every day worldwide. So that's a lot of seafood. So even though we ate fish three times a day, we wouldn't be able to eat all the fish that we have in Norway. So,
so share and share alike. That's yeah. awesome. Now, I was at an event recently where I was served skrei tongue. Can you tell me, was that an actual fish tongue that I ate, or?
Yeah, it's, they only, well, it sounds like it's the whole tongue, but it's actually only the tip of the tongue and a part of the, what do you call it, the throat?
Kind of your throat, yeah.
Yeah, so, but it's a delicate piece of fish meat, and it's also a way to use the whole fish. In Norway, we eat also the fish cheeks, and we eat, we eat everything that we can get out of skrei, even the skrei stomach.
How would you prepare a skrei stomach?
Well, first of all, you have to wash it really good, and then you can stuff it with, whatever you like. Somebody use actually the liver or the roe and stuff it, and then they boil it. So maybe it doesn't sound that good, but it's actually... No, it's quite nice.
Yeah, that sounds delicious. I mean, I think it's kind of like a fish sausage, if you will. I mean, we're used to taking kind of the stomachs of, you know, pigs or lambs and stuffing them with pig or lamb.
Yeah.
Similar for fish. Yeah. So in your time here in the U.S., kind of working with different chefs, introducing the thing, have you been surprised or inspired by any of the skrei preparations that you've seen?
Yeah, it's always interesting to work with chefs all over the world because they all have their own opinion on how they can serve it in a good way. And I think you can see a difference from chefs in France, for example, compared to the chef here in the U.S. So I think you have a way to have more flavors or spices and kind of that stuff on the skrei. But for example, in France, again, they tend to serve it very simple.
Very simple.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how does the U.S. compare with other parts of the world as regards to, like, skrei consumption? I mean, are you guys doing similar promotions in other parts of Europe? And are we, like, we like to think in New York that we're ahead of the game, but it sounds like we're a few centuries behind when it comes to this fish. So I'm just curious, you know, where else is becoming kind of up and coming skrei eaters that we should be looking to for inspiration aside from the... You know, obviously in our backyard here.
Mm-hmm. Well, the skrei has been known in Europe for many years, especially the French chefs are very very fond of the Skrei, and also the Belgian market is big, the German market, Spanish market, Swedish market is growing, and so on. So, but I wouldn't say that the chefs here is many years behind the other ones, because they're good chefs, but they probably haven't had a chance to be introduced for the Skrei. So
we have, what, maybe one more month to be enjoying Skrei here in the U.S. Is there, so we can go out to restaurants to check it out, is it available in retail locations anywhere that people can look for, or should we wait another year to see that?
Well, definitely it's going to be Skrei in store next year, but you can find it in some Whole Foods stores, but they're mostly sold as Norwegian cod.
Okay.
So, but it's great from Norway, so it's a good quality fish.
Awesome. Well, Karen, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us a little bit about Skrei. It's definitely making me kind of hungry.
Good.
And if folks want to find out more, they can definitely visit the website, www.skreifromnorway.com. Skrei is Skrei, for those out there who are a little spelling challenged like myself. Thank you so much for tuning in to this special recording from the Heritage Radio Network. This, like all 30 of our live weekly shows, can be found on our website, www.heritageradionetwork.org. You can also find us as free downloads through iTunes and check us out on Stitcher Smart Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll be coming at you again real soon.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.